Okay, say something, say like testing or whatever.
It's like 7.5 inches.
All right, we're gonna start it with there. Welcome to episode, I think 109 of Whip Snap. Today we got I don't acquaintance. I don't we always walked past each other in high school.
Sure, yeah. I did give you that hand job one time in the bathroom, though.
Yeah, but that was more of a private thing. I didn't really want you to say. I'm gonna have to
We'll
cover.
edit that out. Edit that out. It's fine.
All right, we'll edit it out. This is Logan Palmer. Last name really fit what you were doing to me in high school.
Yeah, both palms, though. It's Palmers.
Logan Palmer, musician, producer. Can we say that? Because you also produce your music.
Engineer. I don't really
Engineer.
produce all that much. I usually just do the vocals.
So I don't know the difference between an engineer and a producer.
Producing is doing it all, pretty much. Really beat making through and through. And then a lot of times producers will do the vocals as well, but engineers are strictly like vocal engineers and the recording artists.
Oh, okay, nice. I was telling I'm trying to work on a new stand-up bit, how like I feel like every musician is attractive, and I'm sure you've gotten that in high school, how like I feel like you're not you're an attractive guy and you make music, and it makes me upset that almost every attractive person makes music, because I'm like you already have everything.
You know, actually, I've thought about this, and it's a little narcissistic to even acknowledge it, but I've thought that maybe it would be a little easier if I was a little uglier because I feel like people are against me from the beginning.
Oh.
Guys, and my main audience is men, so I feel like they're like, fuck this asshole.
Do you feel like it's like a Matt Rife situation?
Sort of. In
I
hip
have
hop,
this.
anyways, in hip hop. Maybe if I were to do something else, it would be
I
different.
feel
But in
like
hip hop, they're like, nah, fuck you, fruitcake.
K-pop, you stand out a little bit. Because they'll be like, I don't know if he's actually saying stuff.
In K-pop, you
In
said?
K-pop,
Like Korean pop? Yeah, I think I would stand out quite a bit. It'd be eye-opening, to say the least.
Well, eye-opening, I guess we could have done something with that, but I think we're gonna leave it there.
Oh, I think I did. I think it was just maybe I didn't. Maybe that was unintentional. I'm not trying to get Shane Gillis, so.
I have this theory that everybody thinks they're an eight from like a scale from 1 to 10, and I feel like I'm an eight, and I don't know where you feel like you are in that scale.
So I actually just saw, I don't know who posted it, probably some mega douchebag, but it actually, broken clock. They said if you are an eight, it means you pretty much get everything taken care of for you, and you can sort of let your personality and your looks let you guide you through life. And if you're a 9 or 10, like you're dating professional athletes. So,
Okay.
have you gotten a free coffee or like I gave you a hand job
No.
based off looks alone? It
Yeah, but
wasn't
that was when I was
your
at 15.
personality. It used to
But that
suck.
was in high school. That was I feel like I was in a like a solid 8 or 9 in high school, 'cause clearly if you were doing that every week. But then I'm also feel like a lot of people peaked in high school. I feel like I never peaked, and I love the fact that I feel like I never peaked.
Yeah, that's yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like I was a bit of a dork in high school, really.
Do you think so?
I was a fucking mess, dude. I was a mess. I don't know. I think if you actually got to know me, you'd realize that I was a dork, but externally, maybe not so much.
Dorkin, like, is there something? Because I feel like people, I feel like there's a misconception with like saying dork. But I feel like people say he a dork, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's lame, or like he doesn't go out, or like he's hooked on this thing, and he studies it for so long, like Star Wars or something. But I feel like you're not studying Star Wars. What are you focusing on that's making you like a dork?
A dork? I don't know. I think probably just
Going through life and wearing glasses, and everyone's giving you like a noogie.
it could be that could have been it. I was also like 140 pounds, and I'm 6'2", so that wasn't great.
You were 6'2", or you now are 6'2"?
I think I'm still 6'2".
I think I was
And I
6'2" in high school, and I'm 6'3" now.
Yeah, I might not have been 6'2" in high school. I might have grown a little after.
You just trying. You're like, I think I was 8. I think I was 5'8".
Really?
No, you saying that? Imagine.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you know, now that I look back on it, I was 5'6.5".
Yeah. You kind of mentioned like you should have got to know you, and then you would realize you were a dork. I feel like making music, like honing in on that, a craft, and that is your main thing. That's a dork in its own way. Well, like, yeah. You're focused on this main thing. Were you doing music in high school?
Sorta, yeah. Really, I was just kind of a fuckhead. I was just smoking weed and chasing girls, but I would get in trouble a lot because I was just a smartass and I didn't like to go to school. So we could check out MacBooks if you had to go to Friday school. Did you ever go to Friday school?
No, I don't think I have. I went in detention one time and it was a mistake. It was because I had a nosebleed and period two or something like that. And I was there. I was in the bathroom the entire time and they thought I was just skipping period two, but they looked at the cameras and I was just in a bathroom stall with like tissues up my nose, just sitting there waiting. That was the only time. And everyone was like, but you're so nice. And I was so confused, but I liked it. It made me feel cool. Being in detention,
right,
and then you
right.
realize it was a fuck up.
Yeah, everyone in there has a toothpick. It's crazy, dude.
And I know. I felt like I had a spotlight on me for like 20 seconds.
That's awesome.
But no, I never had Friday school.
Yeah, well, it was like 3 hours, so you could check out MacBooks, and on the MacBooks they had GarageBand. Yeah, that's how I really like. Kind of just learned the jargon, and it's called a DAW, like a digital audio workstation is what GarageBand is. So it was my first introduction to any sort of DAW. And then I just started to fuck around. Initially, I was just making beats, and then I made a few just in those 3 hours that I would like show to the people that were sitting next to me, and they were like, yo, that's actually kind of fire. And at first, my first Friday school, like freshman, sophomore year, they're like, that shit sucks. And then like by my senior year, like, yeah, it's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, then I started out playing drums when I was like 12, maybe 13.
Oh, dope.
And just in some crackhead's basement that my dad paid $20. But he was pretty good at the drums. And I guess he was a dork too. He honed in on his craft, crack and drums. So
crack and drums, title of the episode.
It's actually a killer combo, my boy.
To try to advertise your type of music, you can either answer either one of these questions. One, who inspired, what type of artist inspired you to make music? So we can kind of get a kind of a gist of like where you're trying to go with your music. Or two, can you compare your music to any other few artists? So that way people can also get a gist of your type of music. Either one will get to the bottom of it.
Sure. Vocally, like just the way that I sound and like maybe the way that I just like conduct myself. A lot of people compare me to Machine Gun Kelly.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah, but I guess the actual type of music that I'm making or the beats that I curated aren't in that lane so much. It's just the way that I sound and just like the vernacular and shit to white tall dudes from the Midwest, I guess it just kind of, it's ingrained in us.
That might be it. If you're down, I would love to, at the very end of this episode, I would love for you to send me one of your songs and play it at the end. Anyone you like, but not like a bad one. Don't send the bad ones. Don't send the bad ones.
And you want me to get you this by the end of this episode?
No.
I'm going to need more time.
I'll post this episode later next week or something.
Oh, I got a whole week? Bro, I can do that. I can get you something in a week.
So you don't have to make a song in a week.
Just... Yeah, no, I know. I'm just
kidding. Okay.
It'll take me a while to get through the archives and find one that's worth the shit is what I'm saying. Mixing is mixing. It doesn't really matter. Like, if it's hard, it's hard. If you can't get the right mix, you can't get the right mix. So this one, I'm 2 hours in, and I'm probably halfway done. And then this other one, if I'm going to guess without opening it, I'm probably 90 hours into it, and it still sounds like butthole.
Wow.
Not like bidet butthole, like...
Like the butthole that no one wants.
Like prison butthole.
Yeah, some people want that type of butthole.
Hey, man. You know? It's
Well, we're both from Kansas. I feel like we got a few uncles that want that type of butthole.
I have a few uncles that have that type of butthole. I got some prison. I got like fucking degeneracy deep in the DNA, my boy.
You said you had an EP, or not an EP, an album coming out, or it already came out?
Yes. No, it's I'm trying to drop it in June.
Okay. And I know I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know I want to talk about that, but I also want to like build up to talking about it, not just like immediately get there. But I'm also curious because I do this when I'm like trying to write a joke or just write something, because I love just writing scripts or anything. I would talk out loud to myself in my room by myself, and I would pace a lot. Or I would just get extremely high, and I'm trying to figure out, when you're trying to make a music or a song or a beat or anything, what does it look like? What's your process look like? Not necessarily day by day, but what do you pace a lot? Do you talk to yourself?
Yes.
I'm assuming I feel like most artists get high. So what does that look like?
Yeah. You say get high?
Yeah. No, maybe not that. Are you, do you do a, you, are you a meth guy? Bandana boy?
What are you talking about, mustache man? Actually, I have one right now too. I can't even. it's indicative of a meth user, the mustache.
I feel like you look good with just the stash.
Yeah, you can't really see it right now.
You just let it grow.
She'll pull it off. She'll thicken up. Give her some cream of wheat and protein shake. She'll thicken up. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because I'm really high right now. Okay. Oh, by the way, that song that I said I probably have 90 hours in, I have 111 hours in.
Oh, wow. Okay. So in that
February.
You're saying it's still dog shit.
Yeah.
And it's Uncle Prison Butthole.
Yeah.
And so what does it look like trying to fix that song for you? What's that process?
Honestly, so with the process, like you asked, this one in particular, I knew what I was going for. I had just gotten broken up with. And I was
That's
like,
where okay. All my good shit comes from. It pisses me off.
Yeah, bro, it's the worst. I can't make it a happy song to save my fucking life. I just got dumped, and I'm about a year and a half sober off alcohol.
Oh, nice.
Thanks. And I was trying not to go back to drinking alcohol, so I was like, I need to just kind of go all in on this song. And it started off as like an apology, like take me back. And like now that I'm 111 hours in and like things have changed, it definitely has a different premise. But I sat in front of my computer for 24 straight hours and just didn't stop until the sun came up again. And my roommate, Austin Haas, shout out Austin Haas, my old roommate, I don't live in Kansas anymore, but he came back from like a trip or whatever. And I was like, this motherfucker is not supposed to, he doesn't come back till tomorrow. And then I like looked at the time and I was like, I was just all sorts of fucked off. And then
you were up all night thinking it was still the same day.
I made it through the entire cycle of a day. And then he came home the next morning and was like, what's up, dude? And I was like, what's up, man? And he was like, you're up early. And I was like,
You're home early.
What the fuck are you talking about? Can I cuss, by the way? I've just been cussing like a...
Yeah. We can say penis and stuff.
Okay, cool.
I think we started the episode talking you jacking me off, so I think we can say just about anything.
Hand job, bro. I don't know what that is. That seems like it wasn't special. It seems like it was like monotonous, or like it was to achieve something.
It was pretty memorable. It was public. That's what I admired about it.
Remember that dude next to us?
Well, the teacher. Yeah, he got fired because he didn't stop it. That's on him.
Yeah. You know what? Squeeze one out real loud, though. What's up? The process. Let's get through this.
Yes, your process. And then we'll talk about pedophiles later.
It's a lot like this. It's pretty much exactly like this. I'm sort of an ADHD nightmare.
Same.
I think every creative, at least the ones that I have worked with, it's across the board.
And for a while, I thought it was such a flaw because it's like, I want to multitask constantly.
Right.
But then it's like, if I do, then I'm not putting all of my effort into this one thing. And then I'm working on the script. I'm like the seventh draft into it. And I love just looking at it by myself in a room and just I'm imagining this reality come as I'm reading the script.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing. So I'm getting better at just like, yeah, this is who I am now. I can't. Yeah. I'm done growing.
Sure. Yeah. If you can't get out of it, get into it, I guess. Yeah, just the, and you know, in this short form content world, you can be a freaking crackhead and it doesn't matter. You can be a squirrel and like post a 30-second video of nonsense and then go back to working on your script if you want to.
As long as you have something
that you're consistent and steady with, and honestly, the thing that matters to you the most. So as long as you continue on with that, I think you can kind of branch off and do all of these other side projects. As long as you always come back home, I guess. Well, the process. I haven't finished. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. We haven't
finished. I just compared it.
Oh, my gosh.
I can just be walking down whatever, and a melody pops into my head that annoys me and annoys me and annoys me, and I can't stop singing it. So a lot of times I'll put lyrics to it or the lyrics will come naturally. And then sometimes I'll take that and then I know what key it's in and I have a relative idea of like the pace, the tempo and the BPM that I want, which is all the same. They're synonyms. So I just kind of find a beat that matches that and that it'll fit on. And then I can, you know, kind of sort of rewrite it if it doesn't fit perfectly, or I can restructure the beat. You can get what's called a track out. So you can buy the beat and then they can send you each individual track. So if the guitar, I really like it, but it's an A minor and I wanted an A major, I can change it. That type of shit. Or the drums are ass. They aren't crunchy enough or like that. I don't like the drum pattern or whatever.
To understand, like, I feel like most musicians will understand you, but for me to understand so I can try to connect with it more, when you buy a beat, it's the whole beat, meaning, like, there's like, 8 or 9 instruments already on the beat. And when you say track, it's those separate instruments. Okay.
Correct. When you track it out like that, it could be – so when you get it, it's just, like, this one sound wave.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
you can drag it and drop it and whatever, like you can with any other audio. And you track it out, you bring it, you buy an FLP, a full-length project, and then you drag it over to whatever you're using, and then it'll be, you know, maybe 20 tracks or 30 tracks, and then, yeah, you can go through and then just kind of nitpick and do whatever you want.
I need to acknowledge just now that we kind of talked about getting high beforehand, and mine just kicked in.
Nice. Oh, you took an edible?
I can't smoke anymore. It kills my throat.
Dang. Yeah, I've just got one of these little fellas.
I need to do that because I had a mental health week. And so I bought a pack of cigarettes and I never smoked cigarettes.
Damn.
Never in my life.
Just damn.
I had two maybe in 2021 because someone introduced me. Not introduced. I already knew what cigarettes were. But I had two. And then I never had any again. So I bought a pack and I need, it's not good. And I'm going to finish the pack.
Yeah, that's good. Consistency.
Because it feels good, but it's also not good. But I think it's just because I need something to hold. You're holding the, what was it, Juul vape?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's a Mike Tyson brand weed vape. That's all I know.
Oh, is it? So you suck it and then you like bite a bunch of ears off?
I don't know. What was the first thing you said?
You suck it? Like you suck it. Oh, okay. Wrong.
Wrong. No, yeah. No, I don't know. I could, though. I do feel like it gives me the strength to do so. But I have what's called self-control, I think it is. What it's called?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, you do.
I say that, but I bought a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
But I told myself. High,
so,
yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, too. It's like people, there's such a bad stigma, especially in like Kansas, where like if you get high, you're lazy and all of these things. Right. I'll take an edible, not every day, almost every day, and it motivates me so much more.
Yeah, for what it does for me is it riddles me with so much anxiety that if I don't do anything at all, I'll kill myself.
Yep, that's exactly most of my jokes is talking about me not wanting to kill myself.
Yeah. Like if I just get high and then I just sit here, I don't understand people who do that. Maybe you have to not have ADHD.
Well, I can get that if I have too much of the weed or the blunt or whatever.
Or if it's a certain type, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
I can only do sativa now. I can't do the other ones.
That's what I do, too. Indica will just keep me. Apparently, that's all bullshit. I have a friend who worked in the industry in Denver and was like, yeah, those are just, like, simpleton words. And it's actually more about, like, the CBG and all these other pothead words. I don't – I actually – you know, we were on a bunch of mushrooms, so he could have been talking about anything else. He could have made all that. No, that's not true. Yeah.
Have you done shrooms?
A lot.
Can we keep this in the episode?
Oh, I don't give a fuck, bro. Like,
okay,
my family,
cool.
My family don't give a fuck. Like, my mom's a hippie and like all that shit. So,
I did shrooms. I think maybe 2 or 3 times in my life, and I don't know if I keep taking bad shrooms, but it just feels like a different high. Like it just feels like I'm high. I'm trying to get something new out of it, but it doesn't. I don't know. What would you experience?
You're not taking enough.
Am I not? Okay. Although I did say, I think before, I don't know if this is true, but my sister, when she was like 15, she went in a corn maze with her friend, and I think she was on shrooms, and she couldn't get out, and she started crying, and the place was closing down, and so a worker had to find these two people just like crisscross applesauce, hiding in a cornfield crying, because they thought they were just closed in a bunch of corn.
Huh. Good. Yeah, that sounds fucking terrifying. I would never do mushrooms ever again if that's
how I having to be your first experience, too. Like, my very first experience when I did acid, I did it one time. And it was the worst experience of my life.
It was terrible.
But I want to do it again.
Yeah, I think it can be better. How old were you?
I was 22, 21.
I don't think it's going to get any better. I'm just kidding. If you're in a better
place. I was also doing it. People say do it with, like, the people you like. I was doing it with a girlfriend I knew I was gonna break up with soon.
Ah.
And her best friend at the time. So I felt like I was like the third wheel in that situation.
Yeah.
But I want to know your experience of either shrooms or acid or one of those.
I've only done acid maybe twice, I think. The first time I did it, I actually did it with my brother. So I did acid with my brother. We got caught in a loop. Do you know what that is? It's 100% real. I thought it was bullshit, but you literally just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over. And it's like
mentally or physically?
Both.
Okay.
You just like will be like, hey, I'm hungry. We should go get some food. And then everyone's like, yeah, let's go get some food. And then everybody stands up and then you just kind of look around for a second, like, what are we doing? So you sit back down and then you don't do anything. Like you're like, you are doing things. I don't really remember what, but like, and then next thing you know, someone's like, hey, we should go get food. You're like, yeah, that's a good idea. So then like everyone stands up and you look around and then you, like, it's insane.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
So we kept doing that and we were trying to get in his car, which was a terrible idea. But you're really easy to manipulate on drugs. So, you know, we were like, yeah, let's get in the Prius. Let's go to fucking McDonald's. So we kept almost getting into the car and then not going and doing something else. And then eventually he keeps trying to feed us more drugs. He has this like, you know, like the reusable Walmart bags.
Yeah.
He has one filled with fucking prescriptions. And me and my brother are like, no. And we're like talking to each other like telepathically. And we're like, yo, we are not in a good place right now.
Also, I was going to say the strength you mentally have to be already hooked on drugs and to say no to another thing.
Yeah.
I would be peer pressured and I would have taken everything. That would have been my last day on the planet, I
probably
think.
Yeah. But he ended up coming out to us.
Oh, congratulations.
No. He came out to us. Excuse me.
Oh.
You missed her. I'm still deep in that thing. I'm still chilling with the shoes I haven't worn since ninth grade. You know,
I still got one sock on.
Yeah, that's good.
So you got in his van, right?
Prius.
Oh, sorry.
And so yeah, we somehow, I don't remember if we ended up getting food or not, but I remember being back at the house, and then he comes out to us. And at the time, at that age, I wasn't super open. I was like more just kind of just, I just didn't, you know, we grew up in Topeka, Kansas. I didn't really know any gay people. So like, it wasn't something that I was like super familiar with. I wasn't hateful towards it. I just wasn't, you know what I mean?
You just didn't get it.
I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. Exactly. And so we were stuck in a loop. So he just kept coming out to us. And he just kept doing it. And he was with his boyfriend. We didn't know. We thought we were all just hanging out as homies. And then they're like, yeah, we're gay. And we're just sitting in their room. And then they just keep coming out. And then he goes on this long tangent about trying to convince us that we are also gay. And that everyone is gay. And at least to a certain degree, everyone is gay. And would you know, actually, I do sort of believe that.
I agree that too.
There's a bit about it. I can't remember who does it. At the time, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, and I'm super high, like easily manipulated high. Like, so it was a wild night. Couldn't sleep. And then the next morning, I had to go mow my grandfather's 20 acres.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I showed up for $20, actually, by the way. Fuck you, Grandpa, because he switched up on my brother and I, and when my younger cousin got older, he started paying him $50. So I got beef with that mustache-wearing, mullet-having, jean short sporting motherfucker.
Is he dead?
Not actually. I love that guy.
Oh, okay. You know what it was? He probably heard about the night before, and if he's old, everybody that's old is homophobic, so he just didn't tell you.
Yeah.
And so he was just throwing you dog shit of $20.
He probably just thought I was gay just based off of my mannerisms.
And you're like, no, I'm not, because I don't even get it, dude.
Yeah, I don't even get it, bro. I don't like butts yet. I don't understand them.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you had to mow his lawn.
Yes, and I was just...
Were you still feeling the effects?
Oh, yeah.
You were technically still on a loop. Mm-hmm. You were...
Oh, no. I wasn't looping anymore. Like, I was back. Okay. I was back on Earth. But, you know, just like when you don't sleep, just the feelings of, like, your legs are kind of shaky and everything feels...
Oh, yeah.
But times that with being on acid all night, but it wasn't even real acid. It was, like, the fake acid that used... I don't know if you ever knew anything about that.
Fake acid, like, no.
I-25 or something. I don't know. It's basically...
I didn't do anything cool when I was in Kansas. I moved out of California. What?
It's not cool. It's dumb. Like,
I mean, all of the stuff that, like, people saying it was cool.
Yeah.
Like, the stereotype. I feel like there's a stereotype of, like, smoking a cigarette against the wall with a leather jacket. Mm. Like, oh, dude, he's so cool.
That shit? Yeah. Imagine.
Also, on top of that, you said times all of these things. Times also, you're now questioning your sexuality.
Sure. At like, the very least. He got in my head a little bit because I was like, he's a smart guy. Like, he could be right. Like, I'm just a young man yet, you know? I just grew hair under my armpits. Like,
I think I'm a young gay man.
Yeah. And I had a girlfriend, too, and I didn't know how to break it to her. It was crazy. There was a lot to deal with.
Oh, dude, that's so funny.
So didn't do acid again for a long time.
You said that was shrooms?
That was acid.
The first and only time I did acid, so like I said, it was with my girlfriend at the time and her friend, and we were at her apartment, and it was so weird. So before we took the acid, me and my girlfriend were arguing a lot, and when I was finally on the acid and it kicked in, I was no joke. I was writing an argument that me and her would say, and I was writing also what I would say back in like a smart way. And I was so high that I was so on my phone. And what I didn't know is that she was sitting right next to me reading everything in real time what I was typing.
Well, how did you explain that? How did you?
So, like, okay, yeah. So, like, we weren't arguing anymore. We were high. We were tripping. We were having a good time. But because when I finally got my acid trip, it kicked in. The only thing I was thinking about was just, like, arguments we previously had.
Mm.
And then I wrote down the argument that we had. But now instead of, like, in real life, however I ended the argument, I don't remember, but I would text what I wanted to actually argue. Did that make sense? So I'm writing down, I'm basically writing a script of an argument we had a couple days ago or something.
Okay, and what you didn't say is what you're typing, and what you wish you would.
What I wanted to say is what I was typing, and, she's looking at me basically just type all of this.
Oh my God.
And she goes, what are you typing? And then I...
Truth, bitch. All
right, go ahead. Oh my gosh. And then I feel like if someone catches me do something, then I'll put my phone away, or I'll make at the time I would just like make an excuse, or I would kind of, yeah, I would lie or something. But I was just like, oh, I'm typing an argument. And I was kept doing it. And she was just like, why? And then we got into another argument, like tripping. And then this is the main thing. This, and looking back at it, this is so fucking funny. But like, I, maybe an hour later, I was in the bathroom by myself talking to myself. And I was, my thoughts were so like heavy, like depressingly heavy, that I was throwing up.
Oh, that's good.
I hope it was good. But I know I needed to throw up, so I had to even like think deeper of all of these sad thoughts, and then I threw up. And then I was talking to myself in the mirror, just being like, dude, you're fucking just so tripping. And everything was moving. And at the same time, my older sister was going through it, like in a depressed way. And so I was replying to one of her videos that she sent me. And I was crying on, tripping on acid. She probably doesn't know this. And now she knows it. Tripping on acid. I'm recording a video back to her saying, like, you shouldn't kill yourself because there's so many good things about life. And I was going to list everything, but I couldn't think of anything. Oh. And so I ended the video, sent that video. So what the video looks like is like, hey, I'll say her name is also Phil. Hey, Phil, you don't have to kill yourself because there's so many good things about life. Yeah.
Like nothing.
And then I end it.
Acid.
Yeah.
Like acid.
Yeah. Like, well, I wish I said that.
Yeah. So what did he say?
But she didn't reply back, but I can only imagine that she probably thought that I killed myself after that video.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I think that's so funny. I know suicide isn't funny, but to me, that's funny.
It's pretty fucking funny.
So I was in an open mic and I said, it's good to be here at the Yoo-Hoo Room. That's my favorite chocolate milk, so that's cool. Anyways, I'm probably going to kill myself soon. And I opened with that. And there was maybe like my friend laughed, two other people laughed. But I'm like, I think that's so funny.
How does that make you feel? I've always wondered, is it like
wanting to kill yourself? Dude, it's the best.
No.
You write down so much stuff.
I've read enough Edgar Allan Poe. I have a pretty good grasp on what that feels like.
I read it one time, nevermore.
Kind of pretentious, honestly.
Did you get my nevermore joke, though?
No, because I've never actually read Edgar Allan Poe. I was just pulling shit out of my ass. What does it feel like to tell a joke and get nobody? I mean, I've done it because I'm not afraid to put myself out there. So I've definitely told like jokes in big crowds of people and got nothing. But what
you mean,
does
like
it feel
an open
like?
Mic?
What's that?
You mean like an open mic?
No, I mean like in a classroom.
Oh, okay, typically. Okay.
That was kind of my. No, but I've considered it. It would be kind of fun. But I'm gonna leave it to the people who are more dedicated to it.
Okay, that's fair. What was your question?
What the fuck?
What's it like bombing?
What's it feel like? What does the pressure feel like? Like, do you want to deviate and go to like things that you know get laughs? Like when you're trying new material, I guess.
Right. I'm getting much better at failing and just letting the fail happen. Like not even trying to recover, just moving on. Because you only have to. Because to fail, like if I'm trying out new shit, it's gonna be an open mic, so like no one professional is watching. It's just a bunch of other comedians. So when you fail and you'll recover from it, like meaning like if I say a shitty joke and I'm like, oh man, I guess strike one on me, that would typically get like a tiny laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a waste of time for me because I know even if I'm getting that small laugh, it's not gonna go anywhere. So I do a joke.
Yeah.
It fails, and then I fucking move on.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, they're pity laughs anyways. When you get those little, oh, I guess that wasn't funny. It's just like a realization for the crowd.
It is.
Like, it's breaking the fourth wall is really all it is.
Yes, and I hate pity laughs.
And I guess I shouldn't say pity laugh, but it's not like the type of laugh
I've got those,
you're looking to get, right? Like you're looking for those big, tremendous build-up laughs, not just the, yeah, that was funny because that wasn't funny. You know?
All I want, all I want also is just like either a laugh or I've gotten a few trying a joke and I hear someone in the audience go, oh God.
That's awesome.
I think I made a couple years ago and this joke is definitely like to know your audience because I did a 9/11 joke and it was in front of all of these old people and they booed me. One of my very first open mics I ever did, an old man booed me. And then a couple years after that, I did the same joke at a college, and it went well. So it depends on the joke. But I did that joke.
In all fairness, you were at ground zero, though.
What?
In all fairness, you were at ground zero when you told that joke.
So you probably should
have considered that. Like, you were literally at the bottom of where the towers fell in New York City. So you should have considered that before you told it there. I'm kidding right now, by the way.
No, but also, I was also trying to figure out where that joke was going. I was confused.
You know what, Ground Zero
I know
Zero
you were
is?
Kidding.
Ground Zero is like, that's where the towers fell.
Okay.
Not ground zero, like starting from the bottom. Like, in all fairness, you were at ground zero telling 9/11 jokes. So
we could have the rest of this whole episode just you explaining to me what 9/11 was. Give a history of it. Did you watch those 9/11 videos in history class?
I was busy trying to get off to them. I wasn't really paying much mind to them. It's more just the visuals.
You got off twice. You got off.
Yeah, actually, another time in a field in Pennsylvania.
You got off when one towel fell.
Yeah.
And then you did not expect the second one, but no. You had so much fun.
Yeah, I brought the second wind. I brought the stamina back. I'm like that anyways, honestly. Bust the first one out quick, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds. And then just, if you just clinch really hard, you bite down and just think about winning. Think about power. Think about your future family, and you can squeeze the second one out. Just don't let it go soft. What were you talking about?
We were talking about me bombing doing a 9/11 joke. So I did that joke one time. The old man booed. I did it years later. I did it out of college. They liked it. And then years later, again, I did the same joke with, like, the middle age of old people and teenagers, maybe, like, 30s. And one person in the audience goes, "Oh God."
That's great.
So it really just depends. When I say, yeah, I have a good joke that always works, it doesn't always work. It depends on the thing.
Of course.
But I think I'm okay failing, because when I mentioned me bombing doing that 9/11 joke, that was my very first open mic ever.
Mm.
So I got the whole booing and, like, people not liking you off the get-go.
Yeah.
And I got it over with, and as I left that set, I was like 17 maybe. As I left that set, the guy, the bouncer or the security guard was like, "Hey man, you did a really good job." I don't know if he laughed, but maybe he was just trying to make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I needed. And then now when I bomb, it's just part of the process now. It's not like, it doesn't make mental, in my stomach, there is no like, "Oh man, they don't like me."
That's because good.
There's a persona I'm playing on stage. So you don't.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so you're not – if you don't like a joke, you don't like – it's not like you don't like me. It's just like
every
joke is a persona. Mm-hmm.
That's how I started looking at it with music too. Like if you
every
don't –
every song is a persona?
Sort of. It's just an exaggeration of my true thoughts and feelings, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. I've listened to some of your songs, and they're very poetic. Like, it's poetry, which is really cool.
It's kind of dark, for sure. I'm getting lighter, but
Yeah. You mentioned you wanted to kind of plug your album, and this is a good time. We had 45 minutes in, so this is a good time.
Yeah, facts. I actually I have sort of a dark backstory with it all, and I want to tell it just to get serious for a second. So the person who is, like, most affected by this story doesn't want to be involved with the story in any form or facet. So I'm gonna try my best to be as, you know,
we can name them Phil.
Yeah, Phil Squared. Got three Phils in this month. Phil cubed. We got the teacher Phil. Now we got this other Phil. What did you say?
I was gonna say you never went to history and saw those 9/11 videos, but you stayed in every math class because I didn't even fucking get cubed when you said cubed,
bro. I didn't finish algebra and I failed geometry twice. So no. So
oh, okay.
I did. I'm in college right now, so I'm taking algebra for the fucking literal third time. So I wrote a song called Suicidal Thoughts, and I was kind of struggling, but really, like I said earlier, it's sort of just an exaggeration of my true thoughts and feelings, or maybe I was just feeling it in that moment, and I wrote a song about it, and then the feelings subside. But I wrote a song called Suicidal Thoughts, and I was with a friend of mine, and we were at this location filming a music video for it. And then this other friend of mine, Phil Cubed, drives by and sees that it's me and my friend. So Phil Cubed stopped and just said something real quick. And they mentioned how much – they asked what I was doing. I had already released the song, and it got pushed into the algorithm, so it started doing well, and it was at like 100.
Wait, how old are you when this is happening?
This was 2 years ago.
Okay.
This was probably March at this point, March of 2022. So I'm 26, so 24.
Okay.
I started to do well. I had like 100K streams. So I was like, oh shit. Like, I didn't expect this to do well. So I need to capitalize. So let's go shoot a video. they pop by and they're like, hey, what are you doing? Blah, blah. I was like, I was filming a music video for Suicidal Thoughts. And they were like, oh, that's like, they made this weird emphasis to be like, I really, really, really like that song. And I was like, okay, weirdo.
That's cool.
Goodbye. And then
that's an also weird compliment to say, you're so good that I wanted to kill myself for so long. And now it's, I don't know what your song's about. Maybe it is talking about wanting to kill yourself, but yeah, someone listening to it, it's not a motivation for them. It's like getting them out of that loop.
Yeah. It's more so like, either way, it was like, it was weird to be so complimentary of such a song that was, I didn't think deserving of like that sort of praise. It was more of like a, hey, that's a good song, but like, you're doing good type shit. But
yeah.
And then a couple weeks later, we ended up sort of getting into an argument. I can't really remember what it was about. It got blown out of proportion for sure. And they asked me to leave. So I left their house. Phil Cubed asked me to leave. So I left. And then a week later, maybe, honestly, the timeline's sort of messy. They ended up killing themselves at the location where I filmed Suicidal Thoughts. So I was really fucked up about it. And so I sort of just crashed, like completely kind of lost my shit, all this, relapsed like really bad, and then came out of it. And so this album is like all of that.
Is it a mix of, so it's all of that, meaning everything that you felt during that time?
Yeah. It's a lot of the songs were written in or around that time. And actually, a lot of them I just wrote in these past few months, because honestly, I've been in such a like a deep depression for these past couple years that I haven't really created as much. That's why, like, I don't know if you've noticed that I've kind of started just popping off on Instagram, not popping off, but just like posting.
You're doing a lot. You're being consistent.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot compared to, yeah. I kind of went ghost. I dropped that. I haven't dropped a song since. Well, I ended up dropping a song a few months later that I already had in the vault, but I haven't really, like, from the start to the finish, dropped the song since Suicidal Thoughts. Because I was going to start rolling out a completely different sound and a completely different album. The two songs that I already had released, Eat Your Heart Out and Suicidal Thoughts, were going to be the front runners. And then this just, like, changed the tone of my entire life.
That's wild.
It's kind of fucked up.
I was going to say something about that. It does suck. I mean, we briefly kind of joked about how, like, we can only make stuff when we're depressed. Not only make stuff.
Sure.
But the fact that that happened and now you're constantly making all of these things or whatever, it's so weird. I'm wondering if you would be on the same path if that didn't happen.
No.
Would you? Yeah, that's fucking wild.
I started to take this seriously because of all of this. I don't know why. I think it's because the songs that I started to write started to be real.
Yeah.
They were more so like I was trying to capture a feeling and I was trying to capture a sound, as well as narcissistically put myself on a pedestal and a platform by, you know, taking like lots of like high quality videos and pictures and like trying to make myself look pretty and all this. And really, I was just trying to sell a persona that wasn't real.
Yeah.
And this made it real. This made everything, me connect with the music tenfold, and every song I'm writing is the truth. Whereas before, I was kind of just saying shit just to say shit. Like I talk, you know, hip hop especially, you kind of flex and you talk about shit. And like when you're starting out, none of it's fucking true. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I decided then and there that all of it was going to be true, no matter how much it made me feel sick inside, just like being vulnerable and being honest, you know?
So back to your album. Why am I imagining 8 songs? How many songs are in the album?
Probably 8.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Probably about right. Well, I wanted to be 13, but when I said I'm going to try to have it out by June, I don't think I can have 13 songs out by June.
That's tough.
And when I mean, I have them all. They're all recorded. They're all on my computer. I just mean getting them to be studio quality. Like,
it
sounds good in the car, it sounds good on your phone, it sounds good on Apple headphones, it sounds good on studio speakers, it sounds good if you were to swallow your phone and be listening from the inside of your stomach, you know, like just keeping it a across the board sounding decent, you know.
How do you test that? How do you have to test all of those and mm-hmm. feel like, oh, it's good? You have to like play it in your car, play it yep. in your mouth.
I do.
What's your so is your name on Spotify just Logan Palma?
It's Rowdy, RXWDY.
Oh, XWDY. Okay.
RXWDY.
RXWDY.
Yeah, it's I have like 3,000 monthly listeners right now.
Not That's much. Awesome.
It's okay.
When I had an old roommate, I think maybe 2021, 2022, and he was also an artist. And as I was editing a stop motion movie I was making, he was on the other side of the table editing his music. And he was having earphones in that you just showed me.
Yeah, yeah. And
I'm not hearing the music he's making, but he's like bumping his head and he's going, oh man, that's just going hard. He would repeat it. And the lyrics he would sing, he would have a microphone with him. So I'm hearing the lyrics he's singing. He didn't have a studio. So that's why that's how he was recording music. And so yeah. I'm hearing the lyrics, and that's all I'm hearing from the song. Not, no beat, nothing.
Yeah.
And then, I'm getting a glimpse of it. And then when he was done making it, he was like, hey, Greg, did you want to hear the song? And I would love to, because I'm so curious as to see what it would look like. And it's also this build up, because he's like, oh man, this shit's going hard. And I've never told this, and I listened to it, and it was not good.
It's fucking terrible. That's the worst, man. It's the worst.
And I never know what type of person to be in that situation, because I live with this person.
Honest always.
We'll end it soon. I just so you're plugging your album or the album that hasn't came out yet. Hurry up and make it. And then plugging your Spotify. Anything else you want to plug? TikTok, Instagram.
Yeah, they're both the same at Rowdy Rowdy Rowdy, RXWDY, RXWDY, RXWDY.
Why that? I'm curious.
It started out as on a song. I didn't know where to come in. Someone asked me for a feature, so I just said Rowdy Rowdy Rowdy, and that's how it started. And then now everyone that I know musically just kind of refers to me as that. So I just, three times, so, and XXX.
If you made merchandise, I think you should put Rowdy, and I feel like your mascot is like a dinosaur. I don't know why I'm picturing a dinosaur with Rowdy.
What is merchandise, first of all?
So, merchandise.
Merchandise, sorry.
No, it's okay. I talk funny.
A dinosaur, yeah. I could definitely see that. I used to have that as my Instagram bio for like 2 years, so that might be why you're thinking that. I had like
think that's why I'm thinking that.
And that's kind of what I felt too. So yeah, that's that a little guy like right here.
Yeah, but like he looks like a bobblehead. Like his head is too big for his body.
Nice. Yeah, sure. I'll definitely mock that up, and I'll give you some credit. I'll give you a 2% royalty, my boy.
You don't have to give me anything. Just $1,000 would do.
Yeah, okay. Nothing. Just something.
But yeah. Okay. We'll end it soon. Also,
the Phil story from earlier. Our old teacher, my God. Phil. Our old teacher Phil.
Chemistry, biology, chemistry teacher Phil. Yes.
I was actually with a friend from high school. My best friend, I've been best friends with him since middle school, Kelton Reimer.
I know who that is.
Yeah, he's been my best friend forever. But
dude, when I had that detention slip, that wasn't actually a detention slip. He was I'm pretty sure he saw my slip, and he was the one, he was like, but you're so nice.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, Phil.
I used to live in Denver. I used to live in downtown Denver. And Kelton would come through pretty frequently, like once a month probably, and we went to this dispensary, and he went in, came back out, and was like, bro, you will never believe who my fucking bud tender was. And he was like, it was fucking chemistry Phil from high school. And I was like,
oh
no,
my
shit.
God.
And like, I used to kind of kick it with him in high school. We would I don't want to get anyone in any sort of trouble or implicate.
Well, I know he got fired because of that stuff.
Yeah, so like we would I used to hang out with the person who sold him the stuff.
That's hilarious.
So we would just be chilling, smoking, and he'd be like, yo, Phil's coming through. And I'd be like, bet. So he'd come through, and we would just, like, chill, smoke, whatever. Phil.
Yeah, go.
Chemistry Phil. So I knew him from high school, so I was like, obviously. And so I was like, fuck, I'm going to go in there real quick and say what's up to him. And he was like, oh, shit, what's up? And he was like, what are you doing here? I was like, I fucking live here. He's like, I fucking live here. We ended up living, like, my apartment complex, his apartment complex, like right there. So he knows where I live. So he's like, what are you doing tonight? We should go out. And I was like, all right, bet. We ended up going out. I'm with my girlfriend at the time. And he's like super lethargic and sluggish and acting pretty strange. And then goes to the bathroom. And then comes back, completely different person. Hype, happy, ready to go. Let's fucking party. And I'm okay. I've seen this one before.
You turn into Taylor Swift. You're like, I think I've seen this song before.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that boy went skiing in the bathroom.
Just what if he was in the bathroom reading a Bible and he found a passage that is so motivational?
Yeah,
probably that he got amped.
Yeah, he read John 3:16 and was like, "I'm gonna go get pissed drunk with this kid I used to teach."
He's like, "Did you guys know God is so fucking good?"
Yeah, there's some foreshadowing there, by the way. So we end up staying out pretty damn late, and we get on these scooters. You know, those like the Lime scooters. Everywhere where you're at.
Yep. Yep.
And so he ends up He keeps wanting to go out. So me and my girlfriend at the time, we're kind of like, we kind of want to go home, whatever. But he's like super demanding. So we're like, fuck it. So we end up hitting a couple more bars and he just gets fucking shit faced. And then we go to leave and he like eats shit on a scooter really bad and all this. And then I'm like, hey man, like, why don't you just come stay at my house? And he's like, all right, yeah, I appreciate it. And then this man comes over. No, excuse me. I invited him over to my house to sober up. I did not invite him to stay at my house.
Right.
We come over. We're hanging out. I have the edibles that I just bought from him like 5 hours earlier, mind you. And he's like, oh, yeah, thanks, man. Takes like five of them. And I'm like, what the fuck? They're like strong ass edibles. So, you know, 40 minutes later, we're kind of just chilling, talking. He walks over to my couch and just like plants himself face plant on the couch intentionally. And he didn't fall. It was like, hey, I'm doing this. And then just falls asleep on the couch. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Oh, my God.
The next morning, I come out, his jeans are in my bathtub, and there's a massive stain on my couch, and this man peed his fucking pants, left his pants, and then left and went back to his house, which I find out later was 500 feet from mine.
Oh my God.
There was absolutely no reason for him to even be at my fucking house. And this man texts me and is like, hey, I stole a pair of your shorts. I left because I peed my pants. And I was like, yeah, obviously. And then I'm not happy with this man. I'm like, it wasn't an apology. There wasn't any sort of remorse. It was just like, hey, I did this. And then he says, you want to go out again tonight? And I'm like, what to do around, no, dude? Fuck you. Like,
oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. It
was that the last time you contacted him?
Yes. All night. I mean, just up and down and up and down, and either on drugs or just off his rocker. I really don't know. All right. Bye, people.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening to episode 108. Listen to his music, and here is his song, Suicidal Thoughts.
When I was young, I always felt like I was nothing. Then you came around and made me feel like something. It was great at first, I must admit, it had me buzzing. But when you left, I lost myself, I am exhausted. Yeah, bitch, I know that the shit's not real. That's just the way that it feels. Suicide thoughts when I'm gripping the wheel. The way she left me, I killed. I need to take time to go and heal. Find myself and make a deal. You be here, you ain't get the appeal. Knife in my neck, yeah, sounds ideal. Yeah, you can get a little baby, maybe. Sipping on some, get crazy, wavy. Crazy in the head, but I'm crazy in the bed. Fucking on the shorty, but I'm better off dead.
Better off dead. I don't know how to win, think I'm losing my head. Turn to a mess, really hard to digest.
Admit it had me buzzed. was in. But when you left, I lost myself. I am exhausted. Shit's not real, that shit's the way that it feels. Suicide thoughts when I'm gripping the wheel. Way she left me, I killed. I need to take time to go and heal. Find myself and make a deal.